Our study tonight is in 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 23, identifying God's true spiritual fellowship by its assurances. A great need exists for believers in Christ to gain assurance of the quality of their relationship with God. It's amazing how many times I know in my own Christian life and in the lives of many other Christians that I've known over the years, how people say, you know, I wonder if the rapture were to occur right now, would God be happy with me? And they don't know that. They're not sure. Well, God wants us to be assured. In fact, one of the verses in 1 John that we're going to come to later on says that God does not want us to be fearful at his appearing. He wants us to be confident, to have joy. So 1 John 3, 19 to 23 provides several practical signs of this kind of assurance, and we view them for our edification. Let me read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 to 23. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Okay. We can be sure we are of the truth if we actively meet the material needs of other Christians. 1 John 3:19 with verses 17 and 18 by application. The statement in verse 19 that we read there, it says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The word hereby means that it's pointing back to something that has been written earlier. And what John had written earlier was in verse 17 and 18 that says this, but whoso has this world's material goods and sees his brother, that's his Christian brother in Christ, have material need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue alone, but in deed and in truth. So that statement in verse 19 about how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in God's presence likely refers back to verses 17 and 18 in the context. So since 1 John 3, 17 and 18 directs us to love fellow Christians not only in word but in deed and in truth by actively giving of our goods to meet their material needs, John indicated that our actions of meeting the material needs of materially needy fellow believers is a signal that we belong to the truth. Now, if that a signal occurs in our experience, it should lead us to set our hearts at rest in God's presence that we are real believers who are really, truly fellowshipping with the Lord. Now, it's true, you remember if we go back to that passage that we'd covered last week, John had said, since God, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, we ought to be willing to lay our lives down for the brethren. Now, that will happen in times of martyrdom, times of persecution in the church, but that we may not have an opportunity to lay our lives down for the brethren. But John does say that there is another criteria whereby we can tell if we love the brethren in our actions, whether or not we share our material needs. We can share our physical lives, give our physical lives for someone else's deliverance, but we can also show our love by sharing of our material needs. So if there is a brother or sister in Christ who has real need and we have the means to help them and we decide not to help them, that's a signal that we're not fellowshipping with God. But if we have a concern to help them and we reach out to help them, and it could be sharing of material needs by way of actually giving money to a person. Sometimes people are in desperate need of listening to, of having us listen to them. I'll never forget many years ago there was a lady who put an ad in the paper, and she said, I will listen to you talk, to anything you say, $10 an hour. And she was flooded with people calling her, just wanting somebody to listen to them. Well, sometimes there are fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who need to bend our ear. They have burdens. They're hurting. So we can actually minister to meet their needs by listening to them and talking with them and sharing. So there are lots of ways we can meet the needs of others. We can meet them materially as far as goods are concerned. So we can help them out emotionally. We can help them and spiritually, mentally, and so forth. There are so many ways to help. But that signals that we are fellowshipping with the Lord. Secondly, we can be assured in our hearts that we are of the truth if our hearts condemn us by letting God evaluate us. Sometimes we may be either too lenient or otherwise too strict in evaluating our own efforts, or we may even think that we're too lenient or too strict in evaluating our works. In either case, we can condemn ourselves as ungodly, even though we may properly be helping other believers. I don't know if you've had this experience or not, but I have a tendency myself to be very perfectionistic. That's something I have to fight all the time. The only time I can let the little perfectionistic animal out of the bag is when I'm playing the trumpet or trying to finesse a sermon or something, but other than that, it can get you in a lot of trouble. But if you get very perfectionistic and you become extremely introspective in judging yourself, I have a great tendency to overjudge myself negatively, be real, real hard, and then find out that it gets me into a tailspin. So I have found this passage works very, very well. Well, in these circumstances, we can rely on God to make the judgment in his omniscience and so lead us into the truth regarding our spiritual state. That's why verse 20 says, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things." I love that verse. God knows it. And many times I've had to say, "Lord, as you know, I'm having problems. I think that I'm bad in this situation, but I don't know. What's your take on it?" And he comes through in grand style. Now, there's a wonderful verse that deals with this, and I've used this many times with other Christians, and I sometimes have to use it on myself. It's Psalm 23. Let me get the verse out here for you. Psalm 23, verse 3, the last part of it. It's amazing how some of the greatest gems in Scripture are found tucked away in some of the most familiar passages in Scripture. Psalm 23, 3b says, "He leads me," that's God, "God leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Now, one's name represents his reputation. So let me re-paraphrase this. He leads me, God leads me in the paths of righteousness to protect his reputation. In other words, God has got to be able to lead me, as dense as I may think I am, or as out of touch with the reality as I may think I am. He's got to be able to reach down to my level of understanding and guide me in that which is right, or he's not God. That's a wonderful promise. So if you're concerned about whether or not you're in fellowship with the Lord and you're judging yourself and you think of being too harsh or whatnot, commit it to the Lord. He's got to come through and ring your bell and say, "Yep, you're wrong," or "No, you're all right. Forget about it, you know, at ease, relax." And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. And I wrote down here a passage applicable in such a case as Psalm 23, 3b, where the Lord is said to lead us in the paths of righteousness. The word path is a well-worn wagon rut. And a well-worn wagon rut is something that is very clear, very obvious, normally very straight. So God, when he leads us in that which is right, he makes it abundantly clear. And he rings a big gong in the right ear. So we can trust God to evaluate and to correct us if we need it. Now, on the other hand, if our hearts do not condemn us, we can confidently rest in the fact that our tangible acts of meeting the material needs of fellow believers signal that we are of the truth. That's verse 21. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we do have confidence towards God." Isn't that wonderful? We can actually be confident from clear signals from the Lord that we are in fellowship with him. Everything's fine. Don't knock the boat. Well, by application, not only regarding God's command that we love fellow believers indeed, but how we tangibly heed any other command from the Lord in his word equally becomes a test of whether we truly are in spiritual fellowship with him. There's another passage that I'd like to throw in here that deals with a wonderful truth in regards to this. In John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them," that is, he obeys them, he observes them, "he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." Judas said unto him, this is not Iscariot, but the other Judas, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man loves me, he will keep," or he will obey, "my words. And my Father will love him, and we," that's the Father and I, "will come unto him and make our abode with him." To make your abode with means to dwell at home, to be at home with. In a very practical sense, God is saying, if you hear my word,
Keep it.
Do it. The Father and I are going to enter into your life, and we are going to demonstrate ourselves in very clear, practical ways that are going to warm your little heart. And he does it. He does it all the time. Sometimes when you're getting ready to go to the store, the Lord will bless your heart and warm your heart. I was really blessed in regards to a birthday present that I got. As you know, it was my birthday, and I'm 21 plus, and you're not going to know beyond that. But anyway, and when they celebrated my birthday, Saturday, December 10th, my son-in-law showed up, and he had some firewood that was 2 years cured. Oh, what a blessing. And I was praising the Lord. Well, I had used some of my firewood, and I needed a place to put it. So we were able to put his firewood and fill up the space that I had used. So the Lord knew, and he had me start burning the other firewood just in time so that when Galen brought his firewood, it would be built back up. In fact, we had, you know, another layer, another 4 to 6 inches above that. So, and I was just remarking, and my daughter Connie was wondering if we liked the firewood or if we thought that was too crazy a birthday present. And she asked my wife Nadine about it when Nadine went out to visit her on Tuesday. Nadine says, "Oh no, Dad, your dad keeps talking about burning that culp wood." Of course, their name is Culp, Connie and Galen Culp now. And I'm raving about culp wood now. I just love it. You put just little sticks in there, that stuff blows up and gets real hot, you know. And it's really an exciting thing. But that to me was a blessing. And that to me, I was just thinking the Lord's been in this. And he's demonstrated he knows exactly the wood that I'm burning, how much I'm burning. He knew where I needed to have that wood, and we were able to put it right on the racks that we had and refill it up. So God, that's the type of thing that God says. When that happens, that's a signal from the Lord that he's involved in your life because you're hearing his words and you're doing what he says. And he's showing you his love. Now, we can also be sure that we fellowship with the Lord in keeping his commandments and our Christian walk by the fact that we receive whatever we ask from him in prayer. 1 John 3:22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." That's a wonderful thing. Now, to illustrate, John noticed that since we receive whatever we ask from him in prayer, and since God has commanded us to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love fellow believers in action, as he said in 1 John 3:23, we know from receiving God's answers to our prayers that we are indeed trusting in Christ as our Savior and showing love to one another in action. Now, answered prayer not only indicates that we're doing those things that are pleasing in his light, in his sight. Answered prayer means that there are several things, very important things, that are in order. And I want to take some time to look at some other scriptures in regards to this. Answered prayer occurs when we pray in accordance with God's biblical will. In 1 John chapter, I said 4, but I should have said 5. I'll have to correct that and get back into the computer. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, says, "This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him." Now, the will of God is shown and is declared in the Word of God. So if we pray in accordance with the will of God, we get answers to prayer. That automatically indicates that if we are praying outside of what the Bible tells us to do, or we are praying disobedient, like for example, if you pray, "God, help me to break into Torrington Savings Bank so I can steal $100,000 and give it to missions," that's not the will of God. Giving money to missions is fine, but doing so by breaking into Torrington Savings Bank and stealing it is not God's will, because that's stealing. And the ends do not justify the means, even in biblical Christianity. So answered prayer occurs when we pray in accordance with God's revealed will. Also, answered prayer occurs when we pray without cherishing sin or harboring sin in our hearts. Psalm 66, this is a great verse. This is another reason why we talk so much about confessing our sins as believers, so that we can have power in our prayer lives. Psalm 66. Let me get the passage here. Verses 18 and 19, I believe it is. Yes. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, or if I harbor, or if I cherish iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verse 19, but truly God has heard me and has attended to the voice of my prayer. So this is a wonderful truth that David had and shared here. So if we get answers to prayer, that means that we're not harboring sin. Because if we were harboring sin, God wouldn't answer our prayer. And third, answered prayer occurs when we pray as true believers. For God has told all men to trust in Christ, and God answers prayer only for those who do not sin but who obey him. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 tells us where the Apostle Paul was on Mars Hill. Paul the Apostle said, God commands men everywhere to repent. And the command to repent there is the command to repent in regards to Jesus Christ, believing in him. Let me start reading at verse 29 of Acts 17. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the God that is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commands all men, Gentiles included, everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, that's Jesus, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. So, we have to make sure that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have not yet obeyed the Lord in regards to believing in him, and therefore God will not answer our prayer. So, answered prayer comes if we're true believers, if we don't have sin in our hearts with the Lord, and if we are praying in relationship to his will. So, if you've had answers to prayer, that means a lot of good things. So the lesson is, when we truly fellowship with God, the following practical assurances occur. Number one, we actively meet other believers' needs. Two, when we have doubts and judge in our own works and let God himself evaluate us, he clarifies to us the spiritual truth about our spiritual status. Three, we see God encouraging us in our everyday walk. And four, we receive answers to prayer. So may we test our fellowship status with God utilizing these tests. And repent of sin if necessary, or rejoice if encouraged, that we are indeed in fellowship with the Lord. So these are practical guidelines that we can use. I just want to reiterate again, that God doesn't play guessing games with us. He doesn't want us to sit here on the earth wondering, now is God happy with me or not? How do I know? He's given us these practical guidelines whereby we can test ourselves and see if we're in the faith. And if we're in fellowship with the Lord as well. So God wants us to use these so that we can be really settled in where we are in our relationship with the Lord and that we can walk with him.